This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. On the grains. I spoke to a group of bankers Tuesday who were as dumbfounded as I am over how John Deere can maintain the financial performance that they have. They are looking at a lot of cash flows that don't work, and the last thing that would be considered is new equipment purchases right now. There are also a slice of farmers who are not feeling the pinch that bankers are not focused on. Deere says export sales are still strong. They also are a diverse company, without a lot of competition in some sectors. Deere reportedly increased the price of their cotton harvesters by $75,000 because they could. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are the two largest shareholders. There is some concern that the tax break available on capital purchases will go away in the coming tax reform bill. Tax rates will decline, but they may take away deductions too, so it will not be all gain. Trump acted like farmers were all corporations paying the corporate tax rate, so we will see great savings as the corporate tax rate is reduced. No one in his farm advisory team must have told him that most farmers pay personal individual tax. For the time being, the tax rate will not be as important as generating income to pay taxes on. A La Nina requires a positive 8-90-day SOI, and the current reading is 0.43. That is about as close to a neutral ENSO as you can get. The recent Arctic blast felt here could hardly be connected to La Nina, as I read someplace. The lack of La Nina should bode well for South American crops as they progress into the new year. They are off to a very good start, which makes them tougher to damage. Argentina is on tap for more rain, and Brazil has never really lacked any. The more conservative crop scouts are starting to increase their soybean crop estimates for Brazil, closer to the standard optimistic government estimates. I think that exports have been strong in part because foreign buyers think the dollar is going higher, so are acquiring inventory as a buffer. When they gain confidence that the South American crops are made, I think our exports will evaporate as they shift their origination elsewhere. With no La Nina and 3 to 5 million more acres of soybeans here next season, it will be very hard to bring the carryover down. As the dollar rises, I see risk surging for the soy market. I don't want to forget the strong possibility of trade disruptions as Trump makes his imprint on the world. Our Hudson crop insurance buy-up should give us about a $1.25 higher guaranteed soybean price than last year in our revenue insurance for less cost than a bushel of soybeans. That's a good example of risk management. Recent rains did not make the drought in the southeast U.S. melt away, but they did moderate it. Winter is a good time to have a drought. Corn Belt droughts have historically migrated into the Corn Belt from the southeast U.S., so the situation does bear watching. Is more likely to take into 2018 for the drought to make it into the Corn Belt, enough to move prices. I am thinking that we may want to sell the 2017, 2018, and 2019 corn crops in July 2018. How about that for long-term corn market forecasting? You're listening to the Comstock Report. Near term, I sold all of my 2016 corn during the year and didn't buy any commercial storage. I have one bin full of corn that I have to deliver in January for $4.09. I was expecting the 40-week cycle low in January, so why pay to store for lower prices and have the inventory devalue? I kept a few hedges on despite having sold cash. I would expect a low around or about the USDA final crop production report. I'll be looking at July corn calls then for reownership. March corn is now falling to cover the December corn expiration. I still expect further erosion into January. Farmers will need money early next year, and many will not sell cash until they must. I'm told that farmers have sold a substantive amount of soybeans but are holding a huge amount of corn, seeing prices as unacceptable. That will not make them go up. The 40-week cycle low for corn is due in mid-January. The follow-up 20-week cycle low would count into early June. There would be a rally in between to try to defend corn acreage from rushing wholesale to soybeans. Again, based on the current December corn and November soybean prices, the corn price is a few cents under last year's corn guarantee for revenue insurance, and soybeans should average $1.25 higher than last year's soybean price guarantee for the month of December. Economist Steve Meyer said something amusing at the Pork Congress. He blamed low corn prices on the RFS. The livestock organizations blamed ethanol for high corn prices, too. Imagine how low corn prices would be if not for the ethanol consuming 5.3 billion bushel. I would think that it is even more amusing that the pork industry can't make money off of $3 corn, which actually looks pretty silly in the scheme of things with their perpetual one-hog-too-many production regimen. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.